Welcome to Manager Tools. Today's topic, feedback step 3, emotions are okay. Here we go.
Folks, we don't mention it often, but we provide training at our corporate clients throughout the year. We don't talk about it because we focus on the individual manager, but the fact is we're getting busier and busier. If you're thinking about 2015, you probably need to start talking to us now. Give Maggie a call or send her an email at maggie@manager-tools.com.
Step 3 of the feedback model, we should probably talk about what step 3 is. Describe that real quickly, and then I'll ask you my question.
Well, step 3, there's a 4-step model. I suspect there are many people who are listening who are like, what? There's a model? How many steps? Step 1 is, hey, can I give you some feedback? You ask the direct, and then you, in step 2, you say, when you do this, you describe their behavior. And step 3 is, here's what happens. You describe the emotion. You describe the impact, you describe the outcome of what happened. And then in step 4, if it's positive, you say thank you, or if it's negative, you say, can you change that, or can you do that differently, or can you work on that?
So step 3, you're talking to people about the outcome of what they did, right?
Mm-hmm.
And often I think we get this question, is whether or not it's okay to talk about emotions under step 3. Does it have to be a business outcome? Does it have to be a deliverable, yeah.
Right, yeah. So we're really specific about not addressing your direct's intent or motivation or emotional state when you're giving feedback. And that's because we're talking about step 2. And many managers take our prohibition on discussing the direct's emotions to mean that any discussion of emotion is off the table. But that's not so. Telling your direct's how you feel, or in some cases, how other people might feel based on what they did, is often not just acceptable, but it can be powerful depending upon the direct in the situation. So basically what we want to say is this. Step 2 of the feedback model is only about behavior, about the direct's behavior, about what they did. Step 3 can be about your emotions. And then our final point is, guys, there are some emotions that are better off being off limits in a discussion with a direct.
Okay, so step 2 still is only about behaviors. We're not talking about, and again, we're not talking about the emotions of the direct, of your direct, right? When you start talking about that, step 2 is about behavior.
Right. We're not talking about how they feel or what their intent was or what their motivation was or what their attitude was. When you're talking to your directs about your performance, it doesn't work well, or about their performance, sorry. It doesn't work well to guess at their emotional state or their attitude or their intent behind whatever they did. Your direct's performance is essentially their behavior. It's not their attitude. It's not their intent. It's not their motivation. Folks, if you have a guy who means well, who just has a wonderful attitude and can't make his numbers, at some point you have to say, you got to go. And that sounds terribly harsh when you say it that way, because people are always saying, gosh, I'd just love to hire a guy with a great attitude. But actually, when you say, I'd love to hire a guy with a great attitude, what you mean is there are behaviors that indicate an underlying attitude. But you never see the attitude. It's only the behaviors that matter.
Right.
We have a cast. It's called There Is No Why in Feedback. There's another cast, Assume Positive Intent. It's more effective when you're talking to your directs. And folks, think about this with your boss talking to you and him or her guessing at your emotional state. It's more effective when you talk to your directs to talk about what they did versus what they meant or intended or were thinking or were feeling. Look, think about your own performance over the last month. Have you made any mistakes?
No, not me.
Yeah. Okay, well, I have. I mean, that's why you're so awesome.
Your mistake was not to tell me about my mistakes.
Exactly. So, everybody makes mistakes. But then you ask the other question. Did you intentionally set out to make a mistake when you made that mistake? Or did you intentionally have a bad attitude? Did you know you had a bad attitude and you just wanted to mess things up? And the answer is, no, of course not. Well, neither did your directs, okay? It's generally true that whatever your directs think or do is quite similar to what you think or do. In fact, the moment you start
I'm just not that much better than they are. I mean, they're like, I'm not like on a different plane.
I gotta tell you, the number of times that people tell me, this is what my directs do, but I would never do that to my boss. It's like, wow, that's just really unusual.
And you were them 3 months ago.
Right? Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You still are.
Always be careful of describing how your directs work or behave or live. If you're describing something very much differently from how you yourself would, it's unlikely. It's not impossible, but it's really unlikely. So look, the point is, if you are going to talk about negative emotions, negative attitudes, negative intent, you're going to be wrong about their emotions or attitudes, okay? And what's more, even if you're right, they won't like it. And you can't win the argument if you're giving negative feedback that inevitably will start, in part because, I hate to say this, guys, they know you don't know exactly what their motivation was, and they can fib about it.
Right. I tell you, you're angry, and you go like, I'm not angry. Now, how am I going to prove? I'm going to prove your emotional state.
So when talking to your directs about what they did, we stick with the facts, the behaviors. And we talk openly about that, and people then say, oh, so what you're saying is, we shouldn't be talking about emotions. And what's interesting about that is emotions matter in the workplace. They do matter. We don't measure them. We don't pay for them. And oftentimes organizations act as if they don't exist. But look, we're humans, and so we have emotions.
Yeah.
So all we meant was, in step two of the model, when you're describing what your directs did, stay away from their intent. Step three, though, can be about emotions. The vast majority of the time, about your emotions, because of course you know your emotions,
right? And your directs care about your emotions, right? I mean,
they do. It depends on. I mean, look, if you describe something simple they did wrong and you get angry, then they won't care about your emotions. They'll think it's an overreaction.
And, oh, they care about it. They feel at risk because you're emotionally immature, right?
Yeah. The other thing about that is that a lot of managers who are hearing this and have not built a relationship with their direct, don't understand their direct, haven't told their direct, this is why I'm doing feedback, this is how it works, haven't briefed them on it, can't imagine some of the things we're talking about. That you can say, hey, when you do that, it frustrates me or whatever. And that's because we're describing a world that's hard for you to imagine when you haven't take the time to build a relationship and explain the feedback model and started with positive feedback. But look, when you talk about the impact of your direct's behavior, step two is what they did and step three is their impact. You can absolutely talk about what your direct's behaviors cause you to feel. When we describe our direct's emotions, we're guessing. But when we talk about our own emotions, we're describing a fact. So if we talk about our direct's emotions, we get pushback. When we talk about our own emotions, the vast majority of the time, as long as it's not some off-limit ones, directs don't have a problem with it. So look, think about this scenario. You're in a meeting with one of your directs and your boss. Your direct is known for being really smart, a technical expert. Your boss asks a question, which your direct finds indicative of your boss's lack of knowledge of the area. Your direct says, you really don't know anything about this, do you? That's ludicrous.
Hey, everybody. We're Mark and I are at Pebble Beach having a strategy session. We decided to record this podcast here, and we were doing it outside, and of course, the sprinkler system went on, so we're going to move inside, and sorry about the background noise.
So in that scenario, if you say, in describing your direct's behavior, if you say, when you're unprofessional, the direct is likely going to say to you, I wasn't unprofessional. Now look, maybe 1,000 other professionals would agree with us that she was unprofessional. But your direct can argue, and in fact, as I mentioned, lie about their own attitudes or beliefs or intent, and we won't get what we want out of the discussion. Now, some of you don't remember this or don't know it because you haven't heard the podcast. But when you give feedback, you are mentioning the thing they did. But the purpose of feedback is to talk about future behavior. If Mike works for me and he makes a mistake or he does something good at 10 in the morning and I'm talking to him at noon about it, I cannot change what happened at 10 a.m. Therefore, the focus of the conversation cannot be what happened at 10 a.m. in order for it to be effective. The only reason to talk to somebody at noon about what happened at 10 a.m., if it's feedback, is to talk to them about the future, because you can't change the past. So the purpose of the conversation is about the future. Having an argument about what somebody felt when they were making the mistake or doing something good is not helpful. You're not going to be able to go back into the past, argue with your direct, win the argument, and then once that's done, then have them agree to have a conversation about a more positive future. It doesn't work. The whole point of being able to give feedback in a positive way, even negative feedback in a positive, relaxed way, is that we're talking about the future. We're picturing the direct doing it right in the future. Okay. So we don't say to the direct in step two, when you're unprofessional or when you are snarky with the boss, because again, those are characterizations of attitude or intent, or when you're a jerk to my boss, because again, your direct would say, I wasn't a jerk. I was just being truthful. So here's a better example. Can I give you some feedback? When you say, you really don't know anything about this, that's ludicrous, to your boss's boss or to my boss, it really frustrates me. Can you be more careful in these meetings? In this case, we're talking about what they did and about our emotions. Directs just don't argue with you about how you feel.
How about other people's emotions? So for example, in this case, could you say something along the lines of, when you say that's ludicrous or you don't know anything about this to my boss, it makes our boss mad.
Yeah. Let me go back and say this. The answer is yes, sometimes. And you can have some success. Depends on your relationship with the direct and so on. It depends on the person's relationship with the person you're talking about. If the direct doesn't know your boss in this situation and you know your boss well, it's less likely the direct is going to push back. Frankly, it also depends on the direct's emotional state. If they're open to it, you're probably going to be fine. If they're in a bad mood or you handle it at all poorly, they can argue with you about your boss's emotional state. So let's do this. Let's use the example and try to extend it to how the boss feels.
Okay.
So I say, can I give you some feedback? When you say, you really don't know anything about this, that's ludicrous, to your boss's boss, he gets angry and frustrated. Can you work on that? Okay. And you're probably right about this, okay?
Well, okay, so I'm the direct in this case. So what if I say something like, well, I didn't get the sense that he's all that upset.
Yeah, here's the problem with that. Even if you are right, again, we have a situation where the direct is arguing about what happened and not thinking about the purpose of our conversation, which is better behavior and better results in the future.
That's a good point. The conversation becomes about the interpretation of what happened, right? Yeah. Versus the feedback.
And then they're arguing about somebody else's emotional state. Who's going to win that argument?
Nobody.
Regardless, even if you win it, you've just had an argument. Well, how effective are you going to be then saying, all right, let's go back. Let's talk about the future. Are you willing to do that differently next time?
That's a bad transition. Yeah, not an easy transition.
And so many managers say to us, well, that won't work. The feedback model won't work. It's always a long discussion. No, it isn't. Part of the reason that so much of your feedback, folks, is a long discussion is because you characterize, you talk about intent, you talk about motivation rather than focusing on behavior. What's more, you do it and you talk about what they did wrong. Two fundamental errors for managers. They talk about what the direct did wrong and they talk about it in terms of their intent or their motivation. Like, how could you be so stupid or how could you be unprofessional in that way? Both of those things cause the conversation to be an attack on the person and about the past. Our model says there's nothing you can do about something that happened at 10 o'clock in the morning if it is now noon. The only reason to have that conversation is to say, I want you to do it right next time. And then to limit the chance that the direct is going to get upset because you're talking about something that you don't know anything about, which is their emotional state. So that's why we focus on behavior in step two. But if you have a good relationship with the direct and you say, hey, gosh, when you miss that deadline, it's really frustrating for me because I end up missing the deadline and my boss is a stickler on it. Well, if your direct is someone who is aware of your emotional state or you have a good relationship with them, they're going to be disappointed in themselves. It doesn't work on everybody. It doesn't work on a high D.
Yeah.
Hey, you really hurt my feelings.
And the ID, the dominant person is, really? That's supposed to be something that's important to me? I don't think so.
Yeah, people tried to tap on me for a long time.
Yeah. Yeah, do you know how that makes people feel? And you look at me and go, no, I don't.
They get angry.
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh, okay. Well, sounds like they got a personal problem. Yeah.
Too bad to be them.
So again, folks, step two, stick to the direct's behavior. Step three, you want to talk about your emotional state, how it makes you feel. No problem. But caveat, let's be careful about which emotions we're willing to talk about. And as a general rule, I'm always reminded that truth alone, being truthful about something, is not the only determinant of what we can communicate effectively.
Is that right? It's like, yeah. You just can't say anything. As long as it's truthful, you just...
Yeah. Just because it's true is not a sufficient defense. It may be necessary, but it's not sufficient. It also needs to be helpful in order for communication to be effective. So... Guys, look, you may in fact be angry, but because you have power over your directs, and power and anger are usually a toxic mix, it's usually ineffective to share your anger with your directs. We've talked about this before, right? Oh, yeah. You control your directs' addictions to food, clothing, and shelter. Okay? You have a sign on your forehead. It says, "Watch out, I'm your boss, I could fire you." The combination of that sign and being angry will create enough fear in most directs that they won't be learning. They won't be thinking about behaving more effectively in the future, and they'll become defensive. In other words, they'll get defensive about their ability to provide for their family, about their own sense of professionalism and success and self-confidence and so on. And then they will defend their actions as a way of having a place to defend, rather than saying, "You can't talk to me that way," or "You're hurting my feelings." They're not going to say that. They're going to defend their actions, even if their actions weren't right. And part of that is a response to your combination of power and anger, making them feel or creating a situation that it's easy for them to feel defensive.
What they're going to try to do is avoid your anger, right? They're going to go into avoidance mode,
right?
As opposed to positive, forward-looking.
Right. They're going to go backwards and say, "Well, that's not what happened. And so you're wrong," as a way of negating your anger, and say, "Well, he may be angry at me, but he's an idiot and I don't have to listen to that." And that protects them from their own lack of self-worth about the fact that their boss doesn't like their behaviors, their performance. But again, this doesn't get us to a discussion about the future.
Yeah.
Okay. Look, guys, we've said this before and it surprises a lot of people. If you can't chuckle when you give feedback, if you can't laugh a little, if you can't deliver it in a relaxed way, you're probably not in the right frame of mind. So if you're going to talk about your anger, the anger can't be expressed. It can be talked about, but you have to be able to talk about it disinterestedly, almost as if you're describing someone else's anger. If you're not really proficient at the feedback model, if you don't have a good relationship with your direct, if you're not somebody who is emotionally mature enough to talk disinterestedly about your anger without it coming across as having an edge in your voice, then you probably ought not to mention anger. But you can mention disappointment. You could probably mention frustration. You can probably mention confusion, sadness, lack of respect maybe, but not anger. Stay away from anger. And we mention anger because so many bosses call us and say, "My direct did something just now and it really ticked me off." Like, wow, okay. And then when they say what it was, like, wow, that wasn't that big.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's it, right? Step two, when you're giving feedback, guys, when you're talking about what the direct did, don't talk about why they did it. Don't talk about intent and motivation. Don't talk about their emotional state. It's only behaviors, and behaviors are the words they said, how they said them, their facial expressions, their body language, and lastly, their work product, which is quality, quantity, accuracy, timeliness, documentation.
And if all that doesn't make immediate sense to you, go back to our feedback model podcast, which we have several. And if you haven't done the feedback model, folks, you have to. You really do.
Yeah. And then in step three, you can talk about emotions, but just be careful because we don't want to get too much into an anger discussion. Because again, that makes directs defensive. Talking about directs emotions or attitudes, the directs emotions or attitudes when giving feedback is usually a disaster. But saying how their behavior affects your emotions, if you have a good relationship with them, can work quite well. Just remember to keep them separate.
All right. Thanks, my friend.
Anytime, partner.
Awesome. Thanks, everyone. That's it. We'll see you next week. Have a great one. So long.